Welcome back to the Daily Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Woods. I'm here with Daily Thunder beat writer, Brandon Rabar. Brandon, how are you?
I'm good, man. It's been a fun preseason so far. So I'm ready to talk about some of these young guys and how they showed out.
This is weekly update number two. We've got a couple things to talk about, that's for sure. Last night they played their most recent preseason game, their fourth preseason game. Do you want to take a stab at the how you pronounce the team that they played?
I was so happy that I'm not hosting this podcast because I thought it would save me from having to be the one that tried to pronounce it. I don't want to do it and mispronounce it, and then I just look like disrespectful or whatever. So I just disrespectfully allow you to be the disrespectful one.
Sure. So I have not heard. I had the game on mute last night, and I haven't heard it pronounced one time. So I don't even have a frame of reference. So we're just going to leave it. But that team was beat 144-97 by the Thunder last night. Interesting game. Oklahoma City plays their second to last preseason game tomorrow night. That one's in Detroit. And then they finish up the preseason on Thursday night at San Antonio. Brandon, anybody going to play tomorrow night? Who's suiting up tomorrow night?
I got to be honest with you. I think every one of these games, it's a kind of close your eyes, point at a player's name, and maybe you'll be right, maybe you won't. It's a 50-50 shot. I know the SGA is not playing. That's all that we know. But Mark Daigneault today in his press conference did say he wouldn't rule out, you know, him playing on Thursday. So that is pretty telling as far as like SGA might be ready to roll by game one.
It seems like the more we hear about all the stuff he's doing pregame, it wouldn't surprise me. I'll say that. I won't go as far as to say like I'll be shocked if he doesn't play, but I won't be surprised if he does.
Well, and here's the deal. If people were wondering like, oh, they're going to be extra cautious, but even if he's ready to go, they're going to hold him out so they don't accidentally win any games because Victor Wembanyama and all that stuff. Look, the Thunder's schedule is so front-loaded with tough teams. I mean, look at the Thunder's schedule. It's like contender after contender for like the first handful of games. So I don't know that, you know, holding SGA out of those games as any sort of strategic, you know, Wembanyama lost column type of, you know, planning ahead 3D chess type move going on. It's nothing like that. When SGA is ready and healthy to play, the Thunder are going to play SGA. There's nothing like conspiracy theory going on with his injuries.
To your point, the Thunder start with the Timberwolves, the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Mavericks. That takes you through October.
Yeah, every single one of those teams has title aspirations. Silly or not, they do. Yeah.
And if you've been around the show for a while, you are screaming at whatever device you're listening this to on, and you're saying that we did this last year with how the schedule was tough to begin the year and that it should be a rough start as far as the record goes. And it was not. Oklahoma City was 500 through 12 games, if I'm remembering correctly. But this schedule is difficult. Their first breather of a game isn't until November 1st, and that's at home against Orlando. That game is on TNT. And boy, I bet they wish they could flex out of that now with Chet being hurt. That was supposed to be – they always feature, you know, the number one overall pick and the number two overall pick early in the season. And this year, you know, that's the game that they planned on, and that will not have Chet in uniform. But after that, November 3rd, Denver, at Milwaukee, at Detroit, at home against Milwaukee, at home against Toronto, at the Knicks, at the Celtics, at the Wizards, at the Grizzlies before they come back home for the Knicks again. Yeah, I mean, it's – they will win. You know, they're going to win games that you don't expect them to, but that is a tough way to start if you're trying to win games.
Yeah, like you said, this team, you know, they're a bunch of high effort, high energy, high IQ, and there's some young talent. And like you said, as we've seen with this Thunder team, they will win teams that you beat teams that you don't expect, win games you don't expect. But, you know, betting on them winning more than, you know, a fair share of that schedule that you just said, I mean, it is absolutely brutal. Like the only, like, you know, quote unquote easy games in that row are the Magic, who, you know, have a bunch of young talent too, and the Wizards. So those are like the only one. They have Bradley Beal and Porzingis now. So I mean, like, you know, none of those are exactly gimme games. So look, the schedule is going to be tough to start off the season. This team is going to be fun to watch, though. As we've seen in the preseason, now granted the last two teams weren't NBA teams, although the 36ers did beat the Suns by double digits.
They did.
And then the Thunder ended up beating them by 30. This Thunder team, if SGA is healthy and playing, when you have SGA, Giddey, Dort, Kenrich Williams, J-Dub, and some of these other young talents, even without Chet Holmgren, on any given night, you know, they could surprise. I'll say that. They're fun to watch. They're not going to win a lot of games in that beginning part of the schedule, but they're going to be exciting to watch, I think.
Speaking of that Wizards game on the 16th, I'll be at that game, and I think they're the Thunder 0-3 the last time I've been two games here in Washington. So if that's any consolation, that game, we might have that one in the loss column already. I will be there again. I want to go back to the game last night. We talked about it last week, but just so impressed with Jalen Williams. Can we commit to just calling him Santa on here all year? Talking about Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, J Dub. I've just been calling him Santa. Is that cool with you?
Nah, you do it. But you know, it's he wants us to call him J Dub. I'm going to call him J Dub. I'm going to respect the man's wishes. It's like that. What's that movie where it's like his mama named him whatever? I'm going to call him. I can't remember the quote. I'm butchering that. So we'll, I think it's Eddie Murphy saying it.
We'll call him J-Dub. So J-Dub, we talked about it last week, just so impressed with him on the ball. And this is something that you could probably speak to this better than me, but it could be just something that's happening in the preseason and that it's not really in the plans for the regular season. And we could look back and say, remember all those possessions where J-Dub just had the ball and he initiated the offense and was kind of the de facto point guard? Or do you see it being a thing in the regular season, like an off the bench, like if it's he and Trey Mann coming in at the same time, is Jalen the one that's handling the ball? Is he kind of looked at as a backup point guard?
His mama named him Clay. I'm gonna call him Clay. Coming to America, Eddie Murphy. I'd say it. Feel much better. Whew. Okay. I think that J-Dub on ball is a real thing. In college, he was really good as a playmaker. He's a really creative passer. And for some reason, when he went through this whole, you know, draft combine and all, everybody talked about his measurements. Everybody talked about, you know, his length, his wingspan. They talked about his shooting, his scoring, you know, the upside on defense because of his physical tools, his bounce, his vertical. But somewhere along the way, everybody forgot to mention what a great passer he was. If you go back and look at J-Dub's Santa Clara highlights, he is a great, creative passer. He sets up his teammates so well. And I did see in some of the breakdowns and some of the, you know, the videos, draft videos, people kept talking over and over. He's one of the best passers in this class. I don't think it's any coincidence. You know, I don't think the Thunder have a true backup point guard at this point. You know, because SGA and Giddey will probably stagger some minutes, the ball will probably be in one of their hands most of the time. But when it's not, the Thunder got a bunch of guys who can handle, who can pass. Like, that's kind of Sam Presti's vision right now. So I think you're seeing it. Like, you saw it last night. Poku had, you know, double-digit assists. Jalen Williams had double-digit assists. All these guys can pass. But I do think that outside of SGA and Josh Giddey, that J-Dub is the most natural passer on the team. And you're going to see it in his hands a lot with the second unit.
Yeah, he finished with 15 points, 13 assists. He was awesome. He was everywhere. Love how natural, like you're saying, he's so natural with the ball. Head is always up, and he gets a lot of guys involved that way. And he's just so tall. Like, he sees over everything. You know, when he's up at the top of the key, he sees over everything. And when you have a roller that's aggressive, he's going to be really effective in that role. Lou Dort was like, he was getting them shots up last night. That was an impressive shooting display from Lou Dort. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, no, Lou Dort's 3-point shot has been such a fascinating ride, because, you know, it was the whole reason he didn't get drafted. You know, scouts loved his defense, his hustle, his energy, and all the things that Thunder fans have come to love about Lou Dort. People saw that in college, and they saw that he was willing to drive to the basket. They were just worried about his shot. And then, you know, he's steadily become a more consistent 3-point shooter. Now, he's still hovering at like 34%, but that's not terrible. When you bring what he does defensively, and when you improved at the rim, like he improved at the rim last year and improved his efficiency. And when you look at just his catch and shoot threes, and when you look at his corner percentages, they've been actually really good. If he can focus on just being a catch and shoot 3-point shooter instead of off the dribble, and if he can focus more on shooting in the corners instead of the top of the break and things like that, he can be an efficient 3-point shooter. But yeah, he was feeling it last night. And sometimes he is. I mean, he's had several games over the last couple of years where he's filling up, you know, 5-6 3-pointers. And you saw it last night. He looked like he was in midseason form. And it was his first appearance in months and months, because he missed the last part of the season. We hadn't seen him in preseason yet either.
He finished with 23 points, 8 of 15 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. J-Dub, again, finding Lou a lot. Really, really fun to see. Usman Jang played the most minutes of anybody last night. 8 of 12 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, including a really, really smooth step back 3 that we talked about during the game last night. 18 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists with a steal. He looks better and better. He's really improving, and the shot looks really smooth. The ball looks like it's coming out of his hand a little softer than what we saw like back in summer league. And it's all very, very encouraging stuff. That's not to mention his defense. I think that's what's going to keep him on the floor here in his rookie season, his ability to guard smaller guys that are going to be out on the perimeter. I think he's going to be successful there guarding with his length. So I like him on the defensive end already, but everything that he's doing on the offensive end is very encouraging.
Yeah, for me, he was the one that kind of stood out to me the most last night, as far as like, whoa, okay. Because, you know, Lou Dort, we've seen Lou Dort do that before. It was nice to see it. We've seen J-Dub, I think that we all kind of expect him now, like, okay, this guy, he's going to be a contributor from day one. This guy is good. And, you know, I've been, you know, in the Usman Jang camp as far as like, okay, I wasn't going into the draft. I think I had him rated 13th. So, you know, the Thunder took him at 11th. So it wasn't that far off. But since then, I've broken down so much film of him, and I see why the Cavs wanted that. You know, they got into a bidding war with the Thunder at number 11 to try to take Jang. The Pelicans, if Dyson Daniels didn't fall to the Pelicans, they were going to take him at number 8. I see why. He's at least 6'10". He is a big dude. Like, yeah. He is tall. I think that everybody just kind of lumped him in with Poku, like, as far as, like, okay, he's nearly 7 feet, but he's so raw. He's a project. He's young. He's going to take forever. He's not like that. He's ahead of where Poku was when Poku came into the league. And, of course, we're going to talk about Poku, I'm sure, in a little bit, and his improvement. But I think that Jang can contribute. He is so fluid for his size. And you hear that now a lot. Like, it's kind of like a hot topic with young players, it seems like, really fluid. You know, we hear all the time with Victor Wembanyama, and it makes sense. 7'4", you don't normally see people move at 7'4", like Wembanyama moves at 7'4". It's absolutely nuts. And while it's not as freaky deaky, Usman Jang should not be moving as fluidly at 6'10", at least, like he is. I mean, he is so smooth. And it's because he was a point guard. He was like 6'1". I mean, and 6'2", 6'3". And the Thunder were scouting him. They've been scouting him that long. And then he had this huge growth spurt. He's up to like 6'10", but he's still moving like a point guard. He still has those point guard skills. But like you said, he's kind of swallowing people up defensively because he can move with people, but then he's got this length. He can move with these wings, but then he is such a fun, exciting upside player. Like, will he meet his ceiling and meet his upside? I don't know. But his starting point is pretty exciting, and I can see why, you know, these smart front offices like the Cavs and the Pelicans and the Thunder all thought he was a top 10 player.
That is an interesting thing to look back at. Like, is to me, it feels like he's much further along than Poku was when he was drafted. Like, a lot, like heading into Poku's rookie season, we were all just still kind of like wondering what was going on. You know what I mean? Like, what it, we had seen some really like some grainy footage of like where he had been playing, and it just felt so far away. And this, and honestly, to his credit, Poke is like really improved. We will talk about him in just a second, but Jang, it feels very different with him. He feels a lot more developed, and for just from a physical standpoint, much, much further along. And he might not even be done growing. He might end up being 7 foot in 3 or 4 years. So, yeah.
He took over Josh Giddey's spot as the youngest player on this team. He's one of the youngest players in the NBA now. Yeah. He's excited, man, where he's starting off. Like you said, much further along than Popoglu was.
And this, I was very excited for this team to like take their swings on these bigger wings. I know we've talked about a guy like Poku or Bazley, but to take a guy this high, like in the lottery, to trade up, to trade, you know, draft picks for him, this, you know, he looks the part, and you can clearly see like what he could potentially be in a couple of years. So that's, I mean, I'm all in on Jang. I hope he plays a lot. There's been a lot of like, will he spend time with the Blue? Will that be the only place he can get minutes? I just think he should play now. And I think it helps Oklahoma City in a number of ways. But most importantly, getting him actual NBA minutes early. I think there are no stakes. There's no pressure. He can go make any and all mistakes, which are very understandable. But I think they should allow him to go make those mistakes on an NBA floor, in actual games.
Yeah, and the other thing with Jang, the last thing I'll say about Jang, I believe in the shot. You know, the question mark with him, I think for a lot of people, is his 3-point shot. You know, and I'm not saying that because he went 2 for 4 last night. I've ended up doing so much. I was going to call it homework. Like I'm like in 10th grade again. But I've watched so much film of him now. His mechanics, his like shot form, his release, like everything is right on. I mean, it looks good and fluid. And you know, everybody in an open gym can hit a bunch of shots, but I watched a video of him hitting like 10, a dozen deep threes, in a row. And it wasn't so much that he made them. He didn't make them all, but it was more his mechanics as he was shooting and how quickly he got the shots up and how natural it looked. So, you know, there's been some prospects come through with like, I don't know if that shot can be reworked, or I don't know how much they can do it. But between Chip England and I think the base is already there for a really nice looking shot. I believe in the future of Usman Jang's shot. And that's gonna be my college thesis.
And don't you love how willing he is to move the ball as well? Like it doesn't stick.
Yeah, that's the thing. Every single one of these players, like that is the new Thunder prototype. All of these guys are such willing passers. Like, you know, it's obviously we all miss the days of Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, James Harden, but we all know that, you know, everybody talks about how it was ISO ball, my turn, your turn, my turn, yours. It is not, it is a new era with the Thunder. Every single one of these guys is selfless, willing to move the ball. It moves around till it finds the best shot.
Yeah. Speaking of, that's a good transition point for Poku. He had 10 assists last night.
Yeah, the Poku improvement is real, man. Like, you know, he's put on a lot of weight, and you can see it. I mean, like, does he still look skinny? Like, does he still qualify for the Thin Towers nickname? Sure, but there is a big difference between, you know, Poku's strength and build when he first came in and where it is now. And there's an even bigger difference in the way his shot looks.
Mm-hmm.
When he came in and how it looks now. Like he looked like a folding chair. Yeah. Somebody said that. And I was like, I always remember that because that's like perfect analogy for how he looked. When he shot a shot before, he was like going back to, you know, 10th grade homework. He looked like a 90 degree angle or a 45 degree angle when he shot. And now it's more like a 90 degree angle. Like the shot looks so much better.
If you pause it at the release, it almost looks like a yoga position.
Like a what?
It used to look like a yoga position.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah.
It looks so much more fluid now. Like his release point is so much more like it's just so much more difficult to contest his release point now.
Yes. And the biggest thing, the most noticeable thing to me, even though it's much more obvious, his shot and his build, I think it's just his overall awareness on the court. Like before he would get it. And it's like, you know, when you play pickup ball with a guy who's not quite sure what to do, so their automatic thing is just to shoot the ball, and it's usually a bad shot. That's kind of like what Poku was before. Like, I got the ball. I got to do something. I'm just going to throw it up. Like, it's not like that anymore. Or, you know, he'd make a pass, but it was like an ill-timed pass or a wild pass. I tweeted this out. I mean, I love the improvement, but a part of me is going to miss, like, those wild throw the pass to, like, the fourth row, Cloud City, or like a shot that clanks off the side or the top of the backboard. I kind of miss our sweet young little Poku and the thrill that he provided. But I the improvement is real. Like, I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, an all-star. I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but I do think the improvement is real.
The meme god, his rookie season was just nothing but like not top 10. I mean, it was just at least one a game. We will miss those. All right, what are you looking forward to most these last two preseason games? I think we would both agree it's been a successful preseason. We're seeing some very interesting things from the guys we want to see most. So what are you what are you wanting to see these last two?
Yeah, you know, the Thunder's future is built so much around right now SJ, Giddey, and Chet. So obviously those are the guys that, you know, you want to see improvement from, development from, but we're probably, I don't know if we'll see any more Giddey or not. I imagine we might. Even if we don't, we all like what we're seeing. We want to see the continued development from J-Dub, and Trey Mann has looked stellar. Mm-hmm. I want to see more from Ushman Jam, but the thing I wanted to mention though was the other Jalen Williams from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
He had his best game last night. And I think that we finally saw some of the things that Sam Presti in the front office really liked about him. He had a bunch of assists as well. He had a bunch of rebounds. Again, you kind of had to take it with a grain of salt. The Thunder scored 144. This wasn't an NBA team. But again, the way that he communicated on defense, the hustle, the energy is always going to be there, the taking the charges. But I liked what I saw. Again, he kind of like ran some of the offense out of the post and was kind of controlling and communicating on defense. It was just nice to see him score some buckets, get some rebounds, get some assists, and you can at least kind of see what the Thunder saw in him. So it's just more from the young guys. It's all about these young guys. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it's the main young guys, like the rookies from this year's class and last year's class. Mm-hmm. You want to see the continued development from.
Yep. Jalen Williams, Jay Will was very productive last night. It hurts that he doesn't like have that. And maybe he develops it, but that like Nick Collison, like elbow jumper. So when guys, you know, cheat away from him, play him for the pass, he could still hit that shot. And maybe he develops it. But I love his passing ability in like that part of the floor.
Yeah, he's a real toolsy guy. Like he's another in the second round. It's so interesting because the Thunder have taken, you know, high upside swings in the first round, but in the second round, look at what they take. They take a lot of young high upside prospects in the first, but in the second round, JRE, older, mature, smart, multi-skilled, good at a lot of things, not necessarily great at everything or anything. Aaron Wiggins, older, smart, mature, multi-skilled, good at everything, not necessarily great at any one thing. And I think it's the same with Jalen Williams. In the second round, they're looking for those Nick Collison like glue types. And I think it's a good strategy because I think the high upside in the second, the chance of those hitting is so much less. There's a reason they're in the second round. And guys that are older and have, you know, a bunch of tools and can be good glue guys usually don't go in the first because teams want the upside. So why not get a guy that's probably going to stick around for a while in the NBA because he can do a lot of things well. And I think that's kind of what they see in Jalen Williams, Jay Will.
It's interesting. Presti went so long without drafting a player that played in college. And that ended with Trey Mann. Obviously Chet went to Gonzaga, but then Jalen Williams played at Santa Clara kind of under the radar. Then Usman Jang from overseas. But these second rounders like Villanova, Arkansas, Maryland, you kind of see him going back to like who played against guys that really challenged them and they weren't like automatically the best guy out there with those second round, like the guy that's going to be good at everything and a little more mature and down the road, the older guy, like he's taken those guys from more traditional collegiate programs.
Right, and the proven commodities too. Like, you know, they proved it at a high level in college. I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, the first rounders are one way and the second rounders are another way.
Right.
And look, they keep giving these second rounders like real contracts kind of right off the bat. They really like these guys. You know, some second rounders, you don't know exactly what's going to happen with them. Are they going to be two ways? Are they ever going to make the team? But the last couple of years, at least, and some of that has to do with these were, you know, JRE and J Will were both high second rounders. So, you know, they're basically low first rounders in a way. Could have been first rounders, but fell out. So it makes some sense, but they really, really like these guys that are taken in the second round. And we haven't mentioned Aaron Wiggins yet. He's another young guy that's looked really, really impressive so far in summer league and preseason. It's going to be hard to get all these guys along with Kenrich Williams and Mike Muscala minutes. I think that, you know, it's going to be a revolving rotation besides, you know, the top guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Another 50% night from three for Aaron Wiggins last night. And it just looks very, very simple. He only takes the good looks and he's very efficient with them. I'm very, very pro Aaron Wiggins minutes this year. All right. Next time we talk, we will be done with the preseason and just 2 days away from opening night. So we look forward to that. We will update you on week three next week. Brandon, thank you so much, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ryan.
All right. Thunder fans, take care. We will talk to you next week. Hey, Daily Thunder fans, we just wanted to take a minute to let you know how you can support this show and other Daily Thunder content. The first thing you can do is subscribe to our Patreon page, where for $5 a month, you get access to our morning roundups of Thunder news, notes, and commentary. Another way to support our site is by visiting one of our partners, ShopGood. Daily Thunder has numerous custom-made designs listed on ShopGood's website. All original, hand-printed, and perfect for any Thunder fan looking to add a hat or shirt to their wardrobe. Most items come in a variety of color schemes, including our Thunderbird and Thunder Shield tees, which pay homage to Oklahoma's Native American culture and state flag. Your support is vital to our success, allowing us to do things like pay contributors and set up live events like in-person watch parties. It also helps keep DailyThunder.com free of paywalls and intrusive advertisements. Any and all contributions made are greatly appreciated by the entire Daily Thunder family.